Ring, ring, ring.
Hello?
Hello. My name is Duty, and I'm calling you guys to play me.
All right. welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Eric.
I'm Nikki.
And I'm Seth.
And today we're talking about Call of Duty. Our history is over the entire franchise, but what we played in our reviewing for this episode is specifically the DMZ mode in Call of Duty Warzone 2.0. Warzone 2.0 is the free-to-play mode in Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, which is the 2022 reboot sequel to the 2009 Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 game. Personally, I think they should have called it Modern Warfare 2-2 since it's kind of like the sequel.
They should have called it Modern Warfare. Are you confused too?
Coming out in 2022. Because it's confusing. Modern Warfare 2-2-2-2-2-2.
So the DMZ mode is described as an extraction mode and sandbox experience where players battle against both AI-controlled and player-controlled opponents while attempting to exfil with loot they find within the exclusion zone. Players start off with a limited inventory, which allows storage and extracted loot from matches. Said inventory can be expanded by completing faction missions, allowing for more guaranteed loadout weapons or the opportunity to unlock base weapons or cosmetic rewards usable in both Warzone 2.0 and Modern Warfare 2.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry, that was a mouthful.
Yeah, that was a mouthful. But so yeah. Basically, you land, you explore, and you exfil. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yep. Pretty much.
Missions you can
if you want to really dumb it down.
You for steal all the hard drives and laptops you can.
Yeah,
and
then
you
all get the origami, all the comic books.
I guess the reason that I really wanted to do this one with you guys is because this is the first time Call of Duty has implemented this game mode. It's not necessarily new. There's Escape from Tarkov out there and stuff like that. But like with the Battle Royale mode, Call of Duty devs, they see an opportunity to grab on something that's popular. And here we are.
So what is this kind of copying?
There's a bunch of them, but the most popular one that I know about is called Escape from Tarkov.
Okay.
And it's PC, and it's even more intense and in-depth than what we played.
So. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I also wanted to point out the awesome, hilarious fact that we're recording this on Memorial Day.
Yeah. Happy Memorial Day, everybody.
Like, while actual soldiers are doing things, we're playing fucking Call of Duty.
Yeah. We're playing soldier.
Yeah, we're playing soldier.
So, Seth, I take it you were able to find a shiz ton of history.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool.
I'm excited to get into it.
All right.
Start on the history. You and Eric go way back. When did y'all meet? Like high school or before that?
Yeah
it was a French class, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, oui, bonjour, me l'appelle Eric.
I think sophomore. It's got probably sophomore, I think.
Yeah.
Wow, so that was like forever
ago. Been freshman, actually. I forget when I started taking those classes.
2000, 2001, around there.
Yeah.
Ooh, so like 20 years.
Been a man.
Dang.
Yes, ma'am.
And you go by Seth, but we kind of know you as Mikey. If we accidentally slip into Mikey, I apologize.
Yeah,
I'll try my best to just call you Seth.
I'll try to go by Seth.
Yeah. All good. You know, it still happens so much with my older friends because, you know, my name's Seth Michael, and I went by Mike, Michael, Mikey for the longest time. And then once I started getting to college, I realized just how many more Mikes and Michaels there
are. Oh, yeah.
There aren't as many Seths.
That's true.
So, yeah.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I get it.
It makes sense to rebrand myself.
Yeah. So, why did you pick Call of Duty just in general? Like, I want to know, have you been playing the game for a long time? Is it, like, your favorite game?
Yeah, I think out of all of you guys' friends, I'm probably one of the ones that has probably played it the most, and the most of them. And yeah, I thought I could give a unique perspective on it.
Awesome. I don't have a ton of friends that I know of that play Call of Duty, but I do have one friend, Josh, and he streams Call of Duty all the time. So when I'm working, I'll have him on, and just watch it while I'm working, like in the background. And I'm like, when you picked this, I'm like, man, I should have been paying more attention to like what he's actually doing in the game. Cause I'm just like, you know, chatting along, kind of watching, you know, while I'm working and stuff. And I'm like, man, I should have been paying attention to like all the like logistics so I could be prepared.
Oh, God. Yeah. It seems like a very straightforward game. Like regular multiplayer, you get in, you shoot some people, yada, yada, yada. Kids bitching on the mic, and that's it. But,
yeah, oh my God.
With the introduction of DMZ and the Warzone a couple years back and all the different modes they've added over the years, like Prop Hunt. I can't wait to talk to you guys about Prop Hunt. My Austin, my wife, she hates Call of Duty. But she,
oh, no.
But when they finally introduce Prop Hunt, that is the one game mode she'll jump in and play.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So much.
Prop Hunt. So is it what it sounds like? You're just looking for different props?
Pretty much. So it's ridiculous. Like one team spawns in. They all have the same gun and they have infinite ammo. The other team, they all spawn in as props.
Oh.
Like a tire, a garbage can, a bicycle. And it's basically just a mission of hide and go seek. Like,
oh my God.
You're supposed to blend in with the map, the environment, and
mad that you did not pick this mode for us to play.
I would have, baby, I promise, but they haven't. For some reason, they haven't added it to the newest Call of Duty.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
Which is beyond me. I don't know. I've never had more fun playing a ridiculous mode.
That sounds kind of silly.
That sounds amazing.
It's pretty dang fun. And so the props, you can like flashbang people and run away. And so you could be hiding as a little paint can somewhere in a corner.
That's
and then
so
you
funny.
Just see like a chair just sliding across the ground. And you're like, oh, there goes Dave.
It reminds me of that movie Rubber, you know, just the tire.
Goes around killing people.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, okay, I'm going to be the total bro here doing Call of Duty, yada, yada. Say what you want about the franchise, but they are a powerhouse of a franchise game that they're in the Guinness Book of World Records and yada, yada, yada. But to really like appreciate that in a certain way, you have to understand it all started with Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg, the Jurassic Park guy.
Well, and E.T. and like a bunch
I'm just kidding, yeah.
More relevant, Saving Private Ryan.
Because
when he did Saving Private Ryan, he saw his son playing GoldenEye. And he thought it would be a really cool way to reach a younger audience and be able to tell stories about history and stuff like that. And so his company, DreamWorks, that's what spawned the Medal of Honor series. So Saving Private Ryan, 1998. First Medal of Honor came out, 1999.
Nice.
Wait, I thought we were talking about Call of Duty here. What's this about Medal of Honor?
I know. It's crazy. We're talking about a totally different game.
Also, fun fact, Saving Private Ryan came out on my birthday back then.
No shit.
I went and saw it on my birthday.
Nice. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I don't know. Probably middle school girl birthday movie, probably not the best pick for me. But I was like, you know what, Matt Damon's in it. He's cute. And then it's like for an hour I'm just traumatized by the opening scene.
Dude,
like
that,
oh my God,
that opening scene was brutal on Saving Private Ryan. I had to close my eyes. I remember being a kid and seeing it too, like it first came out, and
it's
having to close my eyes during it.
They didn't hold back at all.
So
what is that game that you were just saying, Medal of Honor? Is that kind of like the OG Call of Duty?
The Medal of Honor is what started it all.
Nice.
Because they did a few very successful games, and I loved playing the original Medal of Honor games.
What did they come out on?
So originally, the first game or two came out only on PC, and then I started playing them when they came out on PlayStation. It was a PlayStation exclusive. So what happened was there was a few of the devs there that weren't too happy with their contracts with EA.
Uh-oh.
So they decided to fuck off.
And jump ship.
And they started this tiny little independent company called Infinity Ward.
Wait, Infinity Wars?
Infinity Ward.
Just kidding.
So they ended up signing with Activision. I think Treyarch was in the mix with those guys too. They all kind of collaborated. And that's when they started working on the very first Call of Duty.
Wow.
2003.
So it's a pretty intense rivalry then between Medal of Honor and Call of Duty.
Yeah, and they tried to keep the Medal of Honor series alive. Actually, you had a Medal of Honor game that I stole from you and never gave back to you.
The tea, drama.
I think I remember it not being very good, so I wasn't too heartbroken.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. It was the only Medal of Honor game that I know of anyways that was in like the Middle East, modern warfare combat kind of thing and stuff like that. Yeah. But also at that same time was the rise of Battlefield. And mm-hmm. they pretty much had the same mechanics from Medal of Honor and Battlefield. And obviously Battlefield has way taken them over. And whatever. But we all see where Call of Duty is at now.
So Battlefield is like the odd third guy who came into the room, right?
And just started wrecking shit. The biggest competitor.
Yeah.
Do you want close combat, you know, ridiculous arcade shooter? Or do you want big open maps that is more of a quote-unquote mil sim game than you go play Battlefield?
Yeah, nice.
But
gotcha.
Once that came out, yeah, EA was like, dude, we got all these sports games and stuff like that. We're just going to forget about the modern or the Medal of Honor thing.
They're like, we know our audience. We're going to stick to it.
And then it's just gotten so crazy over the years since this began. There's so many different companies that produce Call of Duty games, and they have to outsource so many divisions. And so, you know, you'll get one that's just absolutely amazing, but then they try to put out a game every single year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot.
Ambitious.
Yeah.
And so obviously other companies were doing stuff. Treyarch, they're kind of known for doing the gritty. They started, the World at War was actually the first one I started playing, really.
Yeah, World at War. I remember playing that at your house, at your mom's house back in the day. We'd do the zombies mode and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Oh, that's the one with the zombies mode?
Exactly. Was that when they introduced the zombies mode?
Yep, that was. And old Dougie there, I'll give him a shout out. He's the one that showed me about the zombies, and I just became totally hooked. And so
I think that's the only one I played before this, because we played the zombie ones together one night.
Yeah.
Probably drunk.
We actually played it at Blue Ghost Arcade.
No. I think we played here one night.
We did a long time ago. I know we definitely did it at Blue Ghost Arcade.
But yeah, we played it here before one night when we were drinking. We were looking for a game we could play together, and you were like, let's do this zombies one.
It's so addictive.
It's hard. It's hard. It's really hard, though.
It is hard. Absolutely. But it's a fun co-op game, for sure.
Yeah, that's the aspect I love, is like playing with some buddies and just seeing how long you can survive. You know, like it's very, very simple concept. And then I just kept getting more involved.
So, question. So, I remember back when I was in high school, yeah, we had the internet and everything. I'm not that old. But you still would have like these LAN parties in person where everyone would like bring their TVs, bring their Xboxes, PlayStations, whatever. And, like, we would all play, like, Halo.
Yeah.
And, like, did y'all do that for Call of Duty back in the day? Or was it or not?
Really. No.
It's always just been an online thing.
I was never big into the whole LAN thing, carding. And, honestly, so I played the Medal of Honor games. And then I took a break from video games in general for a while. I think around when my parents got divorced, I was just doing other shit. I was chasing girls. And just, my head was all over the place.
Like when you're in college, too. It's like you got classes and all this other stuff.
Yeah, and the thought of like carrying my console or computer to someone else's house.
They're heavy.
Because in that time, though, like in between when I played Medal of Honor Call of Duty, like I was playing video games to fucking get away from people. Not
be
like,
with people.
Yeah, not meet up and not get on a headset and play with people. And that's like the first few Call of Duties I played. I didn't even use my headset at all, except zombies.
Yeah, I remember playing like zombies back in the day with you, and it was a blast. And then I tried to play it online. I'm like, I don't know. Having to talk to people, it doesn't sound that fun.
Strangers.
Well, we saw just last night when we were playing the DMZ. Like, dude, you know, people have their perceptions about the player base of Call of Duty, and I would say it's like 60-40. 60% are, yes, those little kids that are like, you know, screaming racist obscenities about your mom.
Oh my God, it's so annoying.
Yes, but then you get lucky and there's that 40% that you run into and you have a damn good time playing with them.
Yeah.
Like there's still people on my friends list from shit, but me and Doug were started playing zombies back in the day.
Oh, nice.
So
yeah, it felt kind of close to about 50-50 depending on the interaction when we were playing.
That's
I felt
being
like
very generous, Eric.
Yeah.
We also played a couple of times without our headphones, and I think you, for this game, you kind of need it. Even if you don't plan on talking that much, you at least need to be able to, like, really hear what's going on around you.
You need to beg for help when you die.
Yes, that too.
Or just the, don't shoot me. I'm trying to do something.
So let's see. Back to the kind of history thing. At some point...
Yeah, we get off topic easily.
No, it's all good. Yeah, there was a couple guys that ended up leaving Activision because, quote, breaches of contract and insubordination. Ooh. I would have loved to have been in that meeting.
But, yeah.
So that's when I feel I kind of noticed some of the Call of Duty games not being up to what I was hoping out of them and stuff like that.
Yeah, if they're trying to come out with a new game every year, obviously you can't have the same team working on all those different games. It's just impossible. So I could understand where one team is probably better than another team. And you're like, I trust what these guys do. But then I don't trust what these guys do,
There's lack of communication and people that are rushing out scripts. I mean, just from their beginning model of trying to put out a game every year, like, that's intense, man.
And
these days with motion capture and everything else that goes into making these games, it's insane. So
the only other games I can think of that do every year are like those sports games,
Madden.
Like the NBA, and the Madden. Other than that, I can't really think of any other ones that come out with a new game every single year.
Yeah. And, not here to trash those guys. I mean, I've never been a fan of sports games too much. Mm-hmm. Some of the offshoot ones are fun, but I can imagine it's very hard for those guys too, especially if they feature like actual athletes. Mm-hmm. They have to do the motion capture thing. They got to pay for those guys to come in. And, that's the same thing like with Call of Duty.
Yeah, and I imagine the model is kind of moving to just having like almost one continuous game as opposed to like releases and,
just seasons.
Yeah. Well, you know,
just having seasons games, like I think of like Rocket League or Overwatch. Or Apex Legends or PUBG or something.
And
where it's like, they don't release a new game. They just keep that one updated.
And you touched on kind of a sore subject for anyone that's in the Call of Duty world right now, because that was the plan with Modern Warfare 2 2022. That was the plan. They were going to give support to this singular game for 2 years. Activision said it was we all thought it was set in stone. All right, cool. We don't have to worry about buying another game. We're just going to get, add-ons and new seasons and stuff like that. But a couple months ago or so, they decided they're going to put out another full-fledged game to continue the new Modern Warfare storyline into next year. So yeah, kind of pissed about that.
Well, is it going to be free or are they going to charge you?
No, okay. It's going to be a full, you got to pay for it.
Well, I'm confused a little bit because it's like some of the Call of Duty games are free. Some of them, I guess you have to pay like a full, like $60 for like a regular game.
Right.
So it's kind of confusing. Like, just make them all free or make them all pay. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Well,
But then that goes in with the greed. They're probably trying to get all the customers, everyone.
I understand if you're a fan of like the campaigns and you just want to like the single player experience, to me should almost be a separate thing than the multiplayer. And I think that's kind of what they've tried to do, or that's what they've done lately. They've kind of separated them out a little bit with the Warzone, as opposed to like
So they've added this other mode, I guess you'd call it, with the newer Call of Duties called Raids. And what the raids do, which I actually find are pretty cool, they're, again, three-person team co-op modes that sort of progress the story from the game a little bit. They tell you a little bit more about what's going on. It's like a lead-in to the next game. But yeah, like you were talking about before, Nikki, where some are free and some aren't. They have, mobile versions of the game. Dude, they have leaned so hard into microtransactions. That's what a lot of people are pissed about.
And it seems like every game is doing that right now, too. It's annoying.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I'd honestly just rather pay the $60 up front. Like, seriously. Just take my money at the beginning, not like $1 at a time,
Oh, we do. Yeah. Oh, we'll pay the $60 up front. And I'm guilty of it. I paid, I think, $20 for the Atlanta FaZe outfit for my guy. But
it's okay,
money,
no judgment.
The money also goes to support our homeboys, the team.
Yeah,
so
that's nice.
I was cool with it.
And you said they're like one of the best out there, right? Or I'd in the country? I'd have to look up their stats,
but in the world, they're nice. Kicking ass. They're a really, really good team. Woo. Like,
that's cool.
Yeah, I want to see more of that. I want to see
do you know if they ever do more popular live competitions here? We should go to one. That'd be sweet.
Yeah,
I don't know if they do them here. I'd definitely love to look one up. I know
if they're an Atlanta team, hopefully they at least have something in Atlanta. I know that we have like a Smite team, and they do big events. Nice. Like, you know, really? Like what you would see on GDQ and stuff. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to look some up. I'd love to go see them because all the videos I've seen of them is, you know, playing in Europe or LA or wherever.
But so they're an sure Atlanta, in air quotes, team, but not really here. Oh, you know?
No, they're all the guys, they're all from Georgia. They're all from Atlanta.
Okay, that's cool.
Okay. Yeah, it is our home team, and they go out and fucking kick ass. But how you were saying about, or we were talking before about, the motion capture and bringing sports athletes in and stuff like that. The Call of Duty has a hell of a lot of people that they've brought in to do a lot of their games for either motion capture or just doing their voice and stuff like that. Like Gary Oldman and Ed Harris, Kit Harington, Ice Cube.
Ice Cube.
So many.
I just remember like all the commercials back in the day where they would just have, you know, like celebrities like in these like war situations, and they'd be like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know if they were all actual voice actors or if it was just for the commercial, but yeah, they would all just kind of like be shooting at each other. And that would be like the commercial for the next Call of Duty game. Or
yeah. I remember what you're talking. Like Jonah Hill was in one.
Yeah. That's what I think of. I always think of Jonah Hill.
Yeah. I think that was just, you know, them being goofy. They didn't have character skins in the game, but it was just, yeah. I guess the model was anybody can be a hero or something like that. I don't know. And yeah, these are some of the other people that have been involved in the Call of Duty process. Sam Worthington, Michael Keaton, Kit Harington, Ed Harris, Ray Liotta, John Malkovich.
Whoa.
Malcolm McDowell, Kiefer Sutherland, George A. Romero. He came in to do zombies.
Nice.
Ron Perlman, Timothy Oliphant, Jason Statham, Idris Elba, Jeff Goldblum.
Okay, any females? Or non-binary? It's very much a kinda, dude game, like kinda, a lot of men.
Kind of dude-oriented, sure. well, there was a female composer that I was going to talk about here, too. There's only two that have been involved with the Call of Duty series that I really think are awesome. Sarah, I'm totally going to butcher her last name. Shashner. I think it's Shashner. Okay. Anyways.
We'll go with the best.
Whatever. Part. She mainly does scores for video games, but she did Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Nice.
Cool. And whoever is out there listening to this played, you know how awesome that soundtrack was. But like my all-time favorite Call of Duty that I played, Modern Warfare 2, the OG, Hans Zimmer did the soundtrack for that one.
Oh, nice.
And, I mean, shit, Hans Zimmer did the soundtrack for The Lion King.
Yeah.
Dark Knight, Gladiator, The Rock, Interstellar.
Even I know his name, and I'm not even a big on, like, knowing all that kind of stuff.
Right.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to ask you, and I know you looked it up, so you better have the answer. How many Call of Duty games are there? Oh, wait, we're supposed to guess first, right?
Yeah. We definitely want to guess that.
We'll guess. Okay, so you said it came out in, like, 2003 was the first one?
Yes.
So it's been, like, 20 years of games, and they come out with at least one every year.
Yeah, you know there's, like, one a year at least.
So I'm going to go with 88. The math is mathing.
I think you might overshot a little bit. But
still, like, okay. I what get are you going to guess?
One? This is not Price is Right. Okay.
I'm going to guess 39.
Okay.
50.
Oh,
50. Man. Oh, perfect even number. Wow.
50. Wow.
One for every state.
Oh, my God.
How many of those are console games versus, like, handheld games or mobile games?
Oh, I didn't even bother looking. Just,
oh, my God.
Off the top of my
head. He'd have to create a spreadsheet if he did that.
I feel like you need to put this in the spreadsheet for
not
us.
Not everyone loves spreadsheets as much as you,
Eric. Because there were some that were just PC, and then some that were console-specific exclusives, and mobile games, and it's out of control.
Yeah.
Call of Duty, you're out of control.
Hey, they know the brand name sells.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. And sells. And sells.
I remember a long time ago, what was it, the Xbox One I bought you was Call of Duty,
yeah,
like themed.
Yeah. I was playing a lot more
cool.
Call of Duty back then.
Yeah.
Before I kind of like, for a while I was like Call of Duty, I forget which one I was really into, and then I moved over to Battlefront.
Yeah, we played that for a while. And then, the Star Wars one.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Man. I played cool. The hell out of that one too.
It was fun.
And right now it's like Overwatch.
Overwatch.
Yeah. Nice.
And then I was playing Splatoon for a little bit. That
yeah,
one's
that's
fun
a good game.
Too. But that one's a totally different genre, I guess.
For years and years, I just went back and forth between Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty.
Nice. Yeah.
Those are my two main jams, and the Elder Scrolls series.
Oh, yeah,
I think I'm a late comer to that one as well. Like
Skyrim, Oblivion.
I started playing Oblivion.
Yeah.
Yep, and, oh, my God.
Better late than never.
That's, right? I mean, because there was, what, Morrowind and
Arena,
yeah, like back on PC. Like
Oblivion is definitely where I started too. But yeah, it's like, to me, that's almost, it's so open world, it's a little bit overwhelming. It's like,
oh, yeah.
It's like ridiculously huge. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And but I mean, I like Bethesda's work. I hope they put something else out pretty awesome soon, because I got sucked into the Fallout series as well.
Nice.
It's just, you know, Elder
it's a slippery
Scrolls.
Slope.
You know it is. I spend more time just in the shops or, you know, creating shit than I do actually fighting things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my first pro that I have for this game is something I think sets it apart from other online games that you play like this, is that it's more of you versus the environment instead of necessarily just you versus the other players. I mean, other players are there, right, but that's not like with other games, first-person shooter games like Overwatch or whatever, you know, you're just trying to kill the other team.
Yeah.
And that's like the main goal. Here, it's more about exploring the environment, finding things, completing contracts, completing missions, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The players are like a hazard that are in there too, that kind of the wild card obstacle that you sometimes have to
deal
with.
It's a little tricky too, because you don't always know if it's AI or if it's a real player.
Oh,
it's like you go in, if you go in guns a blazing and you kill some people and they're like, man, you're me. And you're like, oh, sorry, bro.
Yeah,
I thought you were AI.
It's like you really got to be paying attention to like how they're moving and like acting and like shooting and
firing
all that stuff.
Firing patterns coming at you.
Yeah, whether they're AI or a person.
And if they have a name above them, right? Like, won't it show kind of like a name or
no? In DMZ, there's none of that. So you just got to kind of watch how they move, watch how they shoot at you and stuff like that. And yeah, hit some UAV towers, so hopefully you can see where they're at.
Yeah. But yeah, it was fun. Well, like
strategy.
It was fun just exploring everything, and like even just driving all the different vehicles was kind of fun. Like you got boats, you got cars, jeeps, four-wheelers,
helicopters.
Like helicopters,
jet skis,
jet skis, all kinds of fun things.
Oh yeah. One of mine was, I thought it was a great social game, like assuming you have no more than two people you want to play with. Because, yeah, the limit, I think, is three, right?
Yeah.
Some of the games have four, right, though?
I think that's
what my friend said.
Yeah, yeah. So in DMZ, which we all played, yeah, those are only three-person teams. But, there's, like, quad battle royale modes and stuff like that. Or if we just played just straight-up regular old multiplayer, you know, you can have a whole bunch of people jump in.
Cool. I was gonna ask, like, is there any way you can do it with more than three people? Like, could you try to link up, like, once you get to the island, or are you not necessarily going to go to the same place when you start your game? Or
Because of our good old skill-based matchmaking friend and stuff like that.
Which we will talk about later, right?
Yeah, we'll dig down that rabbit hole. But now, more than a couple people, it'd be very tough to even try to figure out. I wouldn't even know.
Yeah, I got you.
So, Seth, what's something you like about this game? Probably a lot of things since you picked it.
Since I've been playing Call of Duty so long, it's just something different, you know. The extraction shooter genre, I think, is pretty cool. I have a lot more fun playing with friends in this mode than I have in a long time, like since Zombies, you know, was good.
That's
which was a long time ago. I said it.
I like that the map they give you in this game is like super detailed. Like you can even see where the cars are.
Yeah.
You can see where the UAV towers are. You can see where
this little chemist is.
You can see missions, it shows you everything. Yeah. And it's not open world, but the maps are definitely large. So like without a map, it would be super difficult to know where you were going or to find anything.
It's pretty.
So it's nice that they. Yeah. And then you can ping, like, I know pinging is not a new thing, but it's nice that you can see everything and ping where you're going. And it makes it, like, a lot easier when you're with a group of, like, hey, go to that thing.
You know, like, hey, let's go get the sheep, and then they'll ping it, and everyone will see it. Yeah.
Yeah, Escape from Tarkov is not as hand-holdy with the map. Like, you can't go in and just, like, ping this, ping that, and, like, you got to figure it out a lot more, and it's,
Yeah. But for me, I really just, I love how much of a sandbox game this is. You can play it however you want. You can, like, lay low. You can be stealthy. Or you can, like, take a car and, like, go balls to the wall, go nuts.
Yeah.
It's really up to you and, like, what you're trying to accomplish, what you want to do, all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's,
choose your own adventure kind of thing.
Yeah, it really is. Exactly. It's like you can steal one laptop and, like, got to exfil.
Yeah. Yeah, I love games that let you choose how you want to play it. And they're just like, here's the game. Play however you want. Like, play it however is fun to you.
Yeah.
If you want to come in and just find random ass shit and leave, cool. If you want to come in and try to kill everybody, go for it.
Yeah.
You
know, like, dick.
Whatever you want to do.
Camp the expel spots. Dude.
Yeah.
Knock it out, bro.
Whatever makes you happy, you know?
I like that, like, you don't have to play necessarily as a squad of three. You can go in with just, like, your buddy, or you can just go in by yourself.
Yeah.
I was going to – it's funny. I had that listed as a con until you told me, like, oh, yeah, you can go in with any, like, any number less than three. I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't actually have to add a person when I'm playing with Nikki or something. We can just go in, the two of us, and just, like, have fun and, like,
Yeah.
Yeah, or you can just go in by yourself.
Yeah.
When I've been off work and haven't had any friends to play with, I love playing solo. You know, this may fall under the strategy, but put on some silencers on your weapons and sneaky.
I mean, it's tricky to
gets your heart pumping.
I mean, as an adult, it's tricky to get everyone's schedules lined up, you know. You have to put it out there, hey, you free tonight? No? Okay, I'm solo.
I mean, we couldn't play like that whole first week because you were traveling, you're in South Carolina.
Exactly.
So we tried to play a little bit by ourselves and we were like, we have no idea what we're doing.
YouTube.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was like, so many YouTube videos.
One of the pros is there's a lot of YouTube videos on there. And there's even like YouTube videos where it's like, here's the basics of DMZ for you. It's like Call of Duty for Dummies video. And it's like, thank you. Cause it's a bit, you know, it's a learning curve.
Oh, yeah. Especially being a new mode they added, they weren't the best at like explaining it. Like, you kind of have to rely on these. Shout out to the content creators on YouTube. Like, those guys are rock stars, man. Being able to really, this is exactly what you need to do to get this shit.
I know. I'm so thankful. Every time I have to go look something up, I'm like, thank you, kind soul, for making this video for me, the stupid person that can't figure it out.
I know. Like, on a particular challenge, if it's been taking me like hours and hours and I watch a video, like, I may never not watch another one of their videos, but I'll subscribe to their channel.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Just be like, there you go, buddy. Awesome. Thank you. You have
you helped
brought me back
I'll
to sanity.
You. Yeah. Nice. I liked it. Like, it's almost like a treasure hunt in this thing. Cause like, once you told us you found like, what was it?
An origami horse for $5,000.
It was worth $5,000. After you told us that, I started looking at all the random items. I'm like, what can I find that's worth like a shiz ton of money?
Origami horse from the Ming Dynasty.
And then you can choose to either like take it out and convert it to experience or use it to like buy
sell
equipment.
It,
and then the equipment, if you exfil with it, it will stay with you. So.
And that's pretty cool too, because like, it really is like a treasure hunt. You can find it and then you can keep it, you know?
Yeah. It just makes the stakes that much higher, though, when you find something and you're like, oh, shit, I got to get out of here alive with this.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. That's
like,
true.
I know we're not technically into the cons section yet, but that is, it's a con, but it's a roll of the dice con. Like, when you are sitting there waiting on that chopper to come pick you up and you've got shit in your backpack that you were like dying to just leave with, Your adrenaline's pumping, and then some team rolls up because they want to hop on the chopper, and they just fuck you up and steal all your shit.
Oh, yeah.
You're just sitting, your dead body's sitting there. Some of them will teabag you on top of rolling your body.
Wait, you can actually teabag people in the game?
Yeah, I mean, we were teabagged last night.
Was I just standing over and like...
Yeah, you just
dipping.
Just hitting a crouch button.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, I was watching the guy teabag you. It was that spazzo.
I got teabagged? Yeah. I didn't even know. Yeah, if you're gonna be teabagging, you should at least know it.
Yeah, there was this spaz little kid that rolled up on us while we were trying to kill this boss, and he starts teabagging and.
I could have been teabagging people this whole time. I didn't even know.
Dude, we need to play some more DMZ so we can go teabag some people.
Exactly.
Especially a little spaz kids like that.
Team teabag. Like, let's go.
I was like, yo, those are my friends, man. And the kid's like, I don't care.
I was wondering why he kept saying, like, teabag.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah, because he's a little
fucker. Did you just learn? I thought it was like, maybe he just learned what this term was. Because, you know, when I was like in elementary school and I learned what things were, I'm like, hey, he'll say it all the time.
Oh, exactly.
69. Your mom, like all this stuff.
Classic Call of Duty experience.
100%.
Yeah, that's one of the things about playing a free game is you're always gonna have a lot of kids on there.
Yeah.
If their parents will let them, because we tried to get my nephew on to play. Unfortunately, this game is not allowed for him. I guess it's too real. I get it, but he's only like 12, so.
Well.
Maybe next year he can play Call of Duty.
And maybe I'll roll that in with a con as well. And it's not necessarily a Call of Duty con, but technology progression con. Where, like, parents don't need to accompany you to the GameStop anymore and approve you buying a violent game. If you buy your kid an Xbox, PlayStation, whatever, you have your store accessible right there. Mm-hmm. And if the parents are dumb enough to give them their credit card information... If a kid wants to buy a game like this or just download it for free, there you go. There's some immature little shit stains that have no business that need to be doing homework, really.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Those are the rebels out there.
Oh, yeah.
My nephew is
But now here they're teabagging us.
My nephew is a good kid. He's a rule follower. So his mom says no. He's like, sorry, y'all, I can't play. Yeah. He really is a good kid. Cool. I love my nephew.
Honestly, he's probably mature enough to play.
I think he is.
I was about to say, because that definitely wasn't me.
I think he is, but I get it. Like, you know, you might as well just wait. It's right. It's better to wait than like traumatize your kid from having them play something when they're not mature enough.
I guess. I don't know. They're going to get traumatized either way.
Oh, dude, you walk into join a game in a Call of Duty lobby in the early 2000s. The shit that came out of people's mouth, that toughens you up.
Oh, gosh.
Especially after you have a bad game and people are like, you fucking suck. You need to destroy your console and go play something else. Like,
oh, my God.
Okay.
Some things haven't changed.
Oh, dude,
really.
That curtain of anonymity.
Honestly, that's probably what I would be more worried about as a parent than the actual game is like just what other people are going to be saying. Yeah. Like, people have some dirty mouths, okay?
The curtain of anonymity.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, everyone's a tough guy when they have that curtain of anonymity.
Yeah.
I also like that there's a bunch of missions that you can work on, and they give you a checklist. Oh, man, I love a good checklist.
I know.
I really do.
There's something very satisfying with having ADHD. Just like scratch that off the
list. That is so true. A lot of the games I play actually have checklists.
Okay, if you want to make a good game, make sure you include some checklists. Yeah, but for me, whenever I played like a game like Apex Legends or PUBG, the world's always felt like super empty and kind of boring.
Yeah, it like takes you forever to even find like a
running around,
case
like,
or something.
Trying to get from point A to point B. I feel like this game kind of solves the issue just by having like more of a player versus environment setting where you're like, you're killing people, you're doing action stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, and you're not just like running and constantly running. Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing more frustrating than getting in a game and then basically running around for 20 minutes trying to find something.
And then someone will come
and
up
then
behind
die.
You. And yeah.
So basically you just wasted 30 minutes of your life running around a map.
I know.
Like, not learning anything about the game, not having fun, you know?
Yeah,
because I've tried PUBG, and I've also tried the Warzone, which is Call of Duty's Battle Royale mode. And, dude, if I can find a friend or two that are really good, all right, I'm having a good time. Sweet. I place and stuff like that. But for the most part, when I play by myself, I hate it because, yeah, just what you said. You run around, yada, yada, yada. You get wasted, lose all your stuff, and you're like, well, that was, yeah, 30 minutes of my life. I'll never get back.
Or I pretty much didn't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. What did I accomplish here? Nothing.
Yeah.
I got a little XP. Cool.
Yeah.
My last pro is just the fact that, you know, cross-platform. Like yes. PS4, PS5, yeah, nice. Xbox Series X.
And PC, right?
PC, yeah. You can play with people on different platforms. It's great. It works like just fine. Yeah.
I'm glad that's becoming more of a thing. Yeah. So it's not like, oh, you got to go buy a PlayStation if you want to play this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I would
play it all together.
I would like to segue that into the cons.
Yeah, we can segue. Yeah.
Because, yes, I love that my buddy's like, oh, I just have a PlayStation or I just have a PC. Cool. I love being able to play with my friends that have that. However, most of the time, I don't usually even play with people. What I've noticed since cross-platform has become more prevalent with Call of Duty, the amount of hackers, cheaters, whatever you want to call it, has just skyrocketed.
Oh, no.
Because it was so much harder to create a mod for Xbox or whatever. Yeah. And implement it.
I remember PCs would have like a lot more problems with hackers because it was so easy to go in and like change stuff.
Sure.
Whereas a console, you have to like find a way to bring it into the console.
Yeah, you have to find it on your PC.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, throw it on like a thumb drive or something, get it to your, and if you got banned, you're like, dude, you're in a world of shit, but it's so much easier to put up safeguards against being found out, and it's so much easier to find mods and implement them in your game, and that shit really pisses me off.
Just cheaters in general. It's like, but you're ruining it for everyone. Don't be a douchebag.
But,
you know,
Activision and Infinity Ward, they're trying their best to really crack down on them. There's some like pretty prominent streamers that have gotten caught, and they've hit them with like $1 million lawsuits and
Whoa.
Stuff.
Wow, that's nuts.
Really trying to make an example out of them. So.
Dang.
Wow. Yeah, and so they also do have teams that are constantly working to combat that. Mm-hmm. So
another thing is the cross-platform play too is for, like, I know for Overwatch, they'll kind of separate console and PC into their own pools, because if you're playing with a keyboard and mouse, you kind of have more control, quicker control.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of a little bit of an advantage over playing with a console controller.
Yeah, like a controller.
Yeah, the play style is totally different. Mm-hmm. And if we were all to play just regular multiplayer, you'll see that it's all just one hodgepodge of everyone playing on different shit. So, I mean, I'm sure there's pros and cons to playing on all different platforms. But, yeah, I do feel like the PC guys,
the keyboard
and
mouse,
and girls have their own advantages.
Yeah, for sure. So we're getting into cons.
Yeah. You want me to go with my big main one?
Yeah.
Where do we begin?
Where do we begin? Oh my God. Not really. Okay. Obviously, being a female, I'm here to bring a female perspective to this. And one of the big cons for me is just the lack of diversity for your avatars when you start out. You have like 4 men and that's it. And it's like very obviously men, like cis men.
Gotta buy the game to get the chicks. Yep.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's like you guys didn't have to unlock a male character, but I have to play all this time to unlock just even a female version. Like, why couldn't they just built that in? Like, have one player with one build out, but hey, you can change
the gender. Yeah.
Just the gender, or like, whatever, just simple stuff. I'm not asking for a whole customizable like me or we or whatever. But like, it is 2023. It is no longer a boys' world when it comes to gaming. Like, so many females and non-binary people out there game, and so like, why not at least just offer one option? you know, like, come on.
I have to check.
You can do it.
You can. I thought there was.
I googled it.
Maybe not.
There's I googled
for the,
it
for the
There's
free
not.
Version.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, just the basic.
Yeah, that seems like such a basic thing. Like
skin. Yeah,
okay, it's not that hard. Just throw it. I mean, you got it available. Just make it to where you don't have to unlock it. Like, yeah. I don't know. It seems so stupid.
Yeah,
and it seems like very much like, do they not want women to play or non-binary people to play? Because it's kind of like sucky to go in to play a game and not have like anything that represents you. And I know it seems kind of silly because it's just cosmetic, but
yeah,
it's 2023. You're like a billion-dollar company. Yeah. You can add that simply.
It's Call of Duty. Their basic demographic is bros.
Yeah.
How like are you ever gonna expand your game though?
No,
if you don't make it inclusive,
I agree.
You know, it kind of shuns people away from wanting to even play it.
Yeah. Throw a couple little skins in there, and that just broadens your horizons. I could see that.
I mean, yeah,
just give people the option, you know.
Just have an option.
It's just like, I don't know. I agree with you.
It doesn't have to be a decked out, super all gold, cool outfit. Just like basic. Like what you start with the guys, just make a female one. Or have one that's all covered up like your avatar, Seth. Like you can't really tell if you're male or female because you have a mask, you have gloves.
I earned that. You know,
yeah.
I earned that by playing ranked.
But like just have an option maybe that's like ambiguous even, like with a mask.
A hoodie
and
a mask.
Yeah, it's like, it's not that hard. Like.
All right, I'll do my big con.
Okay.
So you did yours. I'll do my big con. And it's the fact that this really does require you to talk to random strangers. So, like, even if you didn't want to talk to your teammates, you'll probably come across random people, you know, who ask if you're friendly or not, and then they'll kill you if you're not. And in some instances, you may want to avoid engaging with people, especially, like, if you don't have, like, plates or stuff like that where it's like you're a sitting duck.
Yeah,
like, one of the first games me and Eric were playing together, we didn't know you could just do two players, so we had three, and we had this other random dude on our team. And all I just heard him start yelling was like, yo, friendly, you friendly? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, Eric, I don't know what this means. This guy just keeps yelling. Like, is he talking to us?
So friendly. Like, I'm so friendly, dude.
And then it's like, apparently there's just like a whole like Call of Duty vocabulary. And once you start playing, you kind of learn things. Sure. But the like later you were like, yeah, you just ask people, are you friendly? And I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that's what that guy was doing. He was yelling at the other players, not us.
Yeah, it is kind of a con and a pro for me. I would say, once again, with that 60-40 ratio, like 60% people are a con. Like, it would be awesome if there was a DMZ that was just, you could go in and just do your own thing. And it's all just PvE.
That'd
awesome. I actually had that as a thing. It's like, I want a version that's just PvE.
Yeah.
What's PvE again?
Player versus environment.
Oh, yeah.
That would be freaking awesome. But then, you know, you have that 40% where you roll up with a couple other people that are just super cool. And they, like that dude that gave us all the vests, the armor vests. Like
just started throwing out vests. He's like, here you go.
Sometimes you have a good interaction. But,
and I know, like, for, you know, me and Eric, we're kind of more introverted, not necessarily going to go talk to strangers and stuff.
Yeah.
But I know other friends, you know, like our friend Shelby and stuff like that. She's made real life friends through games like this where you're playing online with other people,
mm-hmm.
and then you just become friends, like, and you start playing with them more, and then the next thing you know, you're like meeting them for a cabin retreat.
Hopefully that goes well.
Well, you guys had a very negative reaction to that. But I'm just saying, I know a lot of people have met
Austin. I'm not going on any cabin retreats with Pussy Slayer 69.
I'm just saying, I know a lot of people who you start out playing something or doing something online, and then you do end up meeting real life friends that you hang out with in real life later on down the road, not like two after playing like two games together.
Yeah,
but
there's
they
your
become
friend
real
BJ.
Life friends.
There's your friend BJ from Michigan that we met her forever ago just playing Call of Duty, and she's awesome. She's a Twitch streamer and this, that, and the other. Shout out, BJ. Yo.
But yeah, that's cool. So, like, if you are very friendly, you can actually meet people that will be your friends in real life, maybe.
Maybe you can make some friends. I haven't done it. I don't know. Yeah.
Fucking
talking to people. Ugh.
Cabin retreat.
Then you get into cabin retreats. Whoa, way too far.
But what's one of your cons, Seth?
I think I'll say for DMZ in particular, there's so many different groups working on this that it can just be kind of a shit show. They'll make little tweaks and adjustments with all these different patches. And sometimes, like, the AI, I think they've got figured out pretty well right now. But there was one point when they were just insane. They're like, oh, my God, wave after wave would keep coming. And they would they would like beam you in the head from a football field's distance.
So just like too good, basically.
Yeah, they spot you from a mile away and there was just no escaping them. And you missed out on that fun aspect of DMZ of doing your missions and contracts, and you couldn't get shit done because you were just pinned down defending yourself the whole time. And so that is kind of a con that, I mean, yes, it still says that it's a beta, but it's been a beta for months and months now.
Oh, it's still a beta?
Technically. Dang. Yeah, yeah.
Some games stay in beta mode for a long time.
Yeah. I guess I just want them to kind of get their shit together there.
Maybe one day we'll get the final release.
Yeah, because right. It just has to be a balance, right? Like, the AI's too good. Like you said, they're shooting you from like a mile away. What are you supposed to do? Just like crawl on the ground the whole time, and then you're gonna be slow AF. Yeah, and like
I'd have matches where just like all I did was fight off AI, and then I see that, you know, the game's about to end, the gas is gonna expand and kill everyone. Well, I'm like, well, that was fun. I guess I need to get on a helicopter and get the hell out of here.
Yeah,
and that sucks. But you don't want them, like you were gonna say, a balance. Mm-hmm. You don't want them to be too easy because, you know, you run around like Rambo, like, sure, it's kind of fun, but I still like a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah. And, like, also, like, the balance with just having, like, actual players there versus AI, too. That's pretty important. Like, you don't want to have too many real players because they're probably just going to kill you, honestly. Right. But you don't want to have all AI, so people are just going around shooting everyone willy-nilly. It kind of, like, makes you think for a second, like, oh, is that a role player or is that AI before you just shoot them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So I think we briefly touched on this, but just the lack of any sort of tutorials. Like,
yeah,
that is not a con for me. I hate tutorials.
Well, no, it's not just that there aren't any tutorials. Like, the fact that there aren't any tutorials suggests that they should teach you how to play the game through the gameplay.
Yeah, that's true.
And they don't do that. So it's like, if you're not going to include any tutorials, then I need to learn just by playing it.
And it's the most frustrating on-the-job training.
Yeah. So it's really like your best bet is getting in with someone who knows what they're doing, who can explain it. Like, it was night and day.
Like someone who's level 470.
Yeah.
It was been around the block a couple of times.
Actually, I think I'm 469.
Nice.
One more match and I'll be 470.
It was a night and day experience, like just when me and Nikki were first trying to play versus when we were playing with you.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was like running around with chickens. It was like running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
But then even after that, it's like, okay, now I kind of get the feel for what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, yeah, this is
and
a lot more fun.
It's not even that complicated. Yeah. It's just like having someone tell you. It's like, oh, okay, I was overcomplicating
just finding
it,
that
know?
Direction, like, which is hard when something that's kind of more sandboxy and open world is like, okay, there's this popping up on my screen and I see this over there. Like, once you realize that you can just kind of choose your own adventure, then it becomes more fun. It's like, I just want to go in and do some contracts. I just want to go in and do some missions.
Yeah.
Yeah, after you kind of get the vibe of what your adventure is, it definitely becomes a lot more fun. But yeah, I can see that as being a con for sure.
And plus there's just like, we're just mostly talking about DMZ, but if you go into the Call of Duty game, like the overall one, there's just so many different modes,
so many different customizable things,
so many menus in there. Like, you really almost need like an hour to just go through all the menus, learn where you change your character, learn where you change your guns, learn where your missions are, where you can read through your missions, like that kind of stuff. It's a big learning curve for sure.
Oh yeah, they just keep adding more and more with every Call of Duty. Like, the UI, the user interface on this one is so just terrible. And you know, then there's the battle pass, like, and when you like, okay, let me just click on that and just see what it is, the first thing that pops up is, do you want to buy the battle pass?
Exactly.
Go fuck yourself. Like, yeah, there's so much stuff. And, and then weeding out what is like pay mm-hmm. for and what I just want to do to have fun.
Yeah.
That's like half the battle, man.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
And if you've never played a Call of Duty game before, like me, really, it's like, it's like going into like Calculus 5 and you haven't taken Calculus 1, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
It's like a whole different world.
Definitely see how it can be overwhelming for sure.
You got something else, Derek?
Obviously, the best weapons and all that stuff are going to be locked behind like grindy, either grinding or like paywalls and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily paywalls, but yeah, definitely a grind.
Or maybe getting lucky and finding like some player that just stocked up on stuff and you get to steal it from
them. Honestly, that's not too big of a deal. I mean, if you can still enjoy it, as long as you can still enjoy the game, it's just like you get into it sometimes and, you know, there's a player who's shooting these like laser guns and stuff and you're like, you die in 2 seconds where you just shot them like 20 times. I'm like, you know, that's a little bit, it feels a little unfair. But part of that is also just that learning curve of, okay, like you got to find vests that have plates and put plates in and stuff like that. And like, all that stuff.
And still on the subject of just DMZ, they, an update or two ago, they started to make it pay to win. Cause you notice, So you guys notice when you die and you lost your insured weapon, you know, there's a cooldown timer for it. So there are packs you can buy where it cuts your cooldown timer. There's a gun specifically that cuts your cooldown timer to like 15 minutes. And there's a skin where you immediately go in with a two-plate armor vest every time.
Mm-hmm.
Or you immediately go in with a UAV or another kill streak.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So
that's not cool.
It's a slippery slope. They're kind of tiptoeing into the pay-to-win aspect of DMZ.
I hate that. Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
Yeah. Not many people do.
Yeah.
I can
understand why. That goes into one of my cons is like there's certain weapons that I guess like you can automatically start with every time. And I didn't know that, so I think I accidentally dropped one of those weapons. So I just didn't have that anymore. And it's like you should like if you're okay, I get if you're like a level 50 or higher, maybe like don't give a warning because like by then you probably know. But if you're like just starting out, it could maybe just give you a little pop-up window. It's like, hey, you know, you're getting rid of this weapon that keeps coming back every time, right? Like you might want to keep this. That would be nice because I got rid of mine and then I was just like, oh crap, I don't have a weapon to start out with now. I have to go find one immediately.
There's an hour cooldown for the weapon,
That feeds back into what you guys were saying about like, you know, maybe not a whole tutorial phase of the game, but some sort of tutorial.
Something to help out, some tips or something that you could turn on or turn off. Maybe,
or even just like a practice area where you don't necessarily keep things, where you can just go in and experiment and like
It was like I didn't even know I did that until we tried to do the next game and I was like, oh crap, I don't have any guns to start with. I mean, luckily there's just guns laying around all over the place usually, so like when you land you can find something really quick, but
but you're losing your insured.
Exactly.
You can upgrade and pimp out however you want. That sucks. Sucks.
The only last thing I have, this is more of just like a funny kind of con than like a serious one. But I want to know, how does two toothpastes and a lighter make a gas mask? Are we freaking MacGyver over here? Do we have, like, Harry Potter magic? Like, what is happening?
I don't know how you make your gas mask, Nikki, but I always start with two tubes of toothpaste.
Like, they're...
the lighter.
Light under them.
Their construction bench or whatever is a little... The logic behind it's a little... Yeah. I don't know.
So it's really stupid the way they describe it, but if you like dig into it and actually do some reading, it's like there's a faction that it's a barter system, right? So there's a faction and this guy is basically, they'll trade you a gas mask if you can find them two tubes of toothpaste and a Zippo lighter.
So that's I thought you were actually crafting that, like you'd take a hammer and just banging on this.
It's a barter bench and that's how they get around the ridiculous.
I'm like, what is this? Animal Crossing? What is this? Like, what am I making?
I love that guy. Like, well, I have all these gas masks, but I'm running out of toothpaste.
And a lighter. I need to smoke my cigs, you know?
Well, I think they finally realized something completely ridiculous about the game. If you play through the campaign, there's a crafting portion of it. Like, there's a couple missions where you have to break a blade off of a fan and find some duct tape, and you got to do some things to make some things. And when I was playing through the campaign, I'm sure a lot of other people too were like, oh cool, like Call of Duty's going to be implementing some sort of crafting system into their multiplayer, yada yada yada. But then when it came out and DMZ, there was no crafting whatsoever. So I was like, what the fuck was the point of why did you guys implement these, I guess this into the storyline if you're not going to showcase it in some cool aspect in the other game modes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's their way of finally being like, oh, yeah, I guess we should have known something with that whole crafting mechanic. Okay, so they added the crafting mechanic, quote unquote, into DMZ now.
That's funny.
Toothpaste. Wait, but speaking of MacGyver, didn't you work on that show for a little bit?
I just day played a little bit and just.
Man, I remember that show, like, I didn't know anyone that watched it. But, like, you guys, Doug and Brian and all that, y'all worked on that thing for years and years and years. And I was like, who was watching this show?
I know. Where are you guys getting your ratings from?
I know. I think Brian was like, it's really big in Europe.
Yeah, because there was an Australian actress for a while.
That's funny.
Anyways. So, shall I dive into some of my cons?
Oh, yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah.
All right. So, skill-based matchmaking and the rise of microtransactions.
That sounds like a New York Times article headline.
Yeah. Right? I mean, we've already kind of covered the whole microtransactions thing a bit, and it sucks.
It's like everyone seems to hate it. Except the companies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
so it's like they must be making money off of it, but yet we all hate it.
I don't mind it when it's just purely cosmetic, but when it starts to affect gameplay, that's when I feel like a lot of people start to have a problem.
That's when it's not fair, and it becomes a classist thing, and it's like, okay, the rich are just going to be good at it like they are everything else.
Sure, the whales, the whales are going to dominate.
Yeah.
And that's like I was just talking about with DMZ having the pay to win mechanics now. Slippery slope, dude, for sure. And
I think gaming companies need to be more aware of that, because that is not cool.
Oh,
yeah.
They're really
aware.
Not cool.
They're aware, and they,
they know.
Love it. Because so
that's true. I mean, I like to think of the good, but, you know, people suck usually.
Oh, gosh. We're talking about multi-billion-dollar companies.
True. But, what am I thinking?
Well, like we were talking about with earlier, with celebrities and motion capture and everything like that, it takes a lot more money to make a game these days, and they're trying to keep it, so we're still paying the same price that we paid for a game back in 2006 or whatever. So this is their solution to, you know, covering some more of their costs for making it. And again, I get it, but
just
kind of is what it is.
I wish there was a better way. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to pay $100 for a game either. No. So I can see both sides a little bit, but man, there's got to be a better way.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know. Maybe it'll be some sort of cycle and it'll come back. Maybe the game prices will jump up and we'll do something else. But
or maybe they'll just stop making a new game every single year. And they could just do it like maybe every other year.
Yeah.
I would love that, because I feel like once I finally am becoming like Billy fucking badass at this one particular Call of Duty, well, fuck all this progress I just worked for a year on, and let's learn the mechanics of the new one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, skill-based matchmaking. So, all right. Activision had filed a patent in 2017. Well, they filed in, like, 2014 or something, but it was accepted in 2017. With this patent, there are certain mechanics that are designed for basically giving every player the same optimal experience. They want little Johnny doesn't know shit to be on same par with me, who's level 469. So there are certain mechanics built into the game that line people up as needed. And sometimes it just gets so out of whack. Like we were talking about playing with friends and stuff like that before. Nikki, you come and join a game with me. And say I have a couple other friends that are lower level, just starting out, and we all group up and we're friends. It's gonna find like an average player's skill level, and it could throw us in a game with a whole bunch of really awesome players, and you guys have a terrible experience, or I get pulled down into the lower ones, and then I'm just, you know, running
too easy.
And so when you start trying to play with other people, that's when the whole skill-based matchmaking thing falls apart.
Yeah.
Because it's really designed for fucking filthy casuals.
Yeah, or like warriors. People all on the same level to play together.
Right. You know, yeah. It's the dad that works all week who can only play like a couple hours. They want him to jump on, have a good experience, get filed into the mix with people, and, oh, I like this game. I'm having a good time. I should buy this skin. I should jump into their microtransaction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fall. They're designing things with this patent to keep players engaged as long as possible and to for everyone to have an even keel playing field.
Okay.
And so we're going to go down the rabbit hole here because I'm not sure if I necessarily am on board with the theory yet or not. Some of the stuff in this patent is, I don't know, it kind of supports it, but a lot of YouTubers out there are talking about skill-based damage or skill-based hit detection, where if your team is doing good in a match in real time, this system can...
Oh, they can nerf.
They can nerf your team.
They can nerf people like in real time.
In real time.
Oh,
wow.
So, oh no.
So the you know, the guys who are getting shit on can have a more fun game.
That's like the rubber banding effect in Mario Kart. It's nuts.
Right. So, all right. So here's one of the excerpts from the patent. Okay. So, even though the players may all be in the same environment, the various parameters that define death and success, among others, will change depending on the player's skill level.
Oh, yeah.
So does that mean if we were playing against each other and all on the same team, and you shot me, it would do less damage than if I shot you? Because, like, it would be more impressive if I was able to shoot you being a low skill level versus you shooting me, who's basically, like, a target.
So that's that kind of the conspiracy theory, but one of the parts of this patent actually more specifically refers to accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
Accuracy. And okay, so here's this part here. In a first-person shooter gaming environment, when a first player aims his weapon at a target, a parameter defining the tolerance for how accurate the player's aim must be to hit the target is modified based on the acquired skill level of the player.
Okay.
The computer assigns the tolerance for how accurate the player's aim must be to hit the target differently based on the skill level of the first player. A player having a higher skill level will be assigned a lower tolerance parameter and therefore will have to be more accurate in aiming in order to hit the target. A player having a lower skill level will be assigned a higher tolerance parameter and therefore could be less accurate in aiming in order to hit the target.
All right, so like, say, like, I'm a level 20 something, you're level 469. So my target for shooting you and hitting you might be, say, the size of a quarter, whereas yours would be shooting at me when it might be like the size of, I don't know, a ballpoint pen.
Something like that.
You just have to be a lot more accurate than me because you've played a lot more and you should be more accurate.
And I don't want to really get myself sucked down this because, you know, the biggest argument is always like, oh, you're making excuses for having a shitty game, bro. You know, and I get it for sure. And the only, I mean, I guess I could say I have quote unquote seen evidence of it, but it could be due to lag and it could be due to so many different factors. The only evidence, I guess, again, quote unquote, I could say I've seen is I've had games where I'm just shitting on the entire team, just absolutely decimating. And then the next game, I'm getting shit on. And what I'll notice is in the game where I'm shitting on people, I can just spray my weapon across them and down they go.
Mm-hmm.
In the game where I have to try a little harder, I really have to focus, just like that last excerpt from that patent. I can't just whiz past them with an Uzi and they go down. I have to make sure I'm very accurate. All the shots are on target.
So you don't actually know how much the game is like affecting like your aim or your damage within any given game.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's other parts of that patent that say, you know, this system that they've created can affect health. Like, you know, you have 100 health points, but what's the value of each one of those points? And this system can, in theory, nerf how much health you have. So people can take you down faster, mm-hmm. or buff your damage output. So again, we're going down the rabbit hole.
It's kind of hard to know what to expect. You're like, yeah. Okay, I'm coming in this game. Is it going to be easy, do I really need to try to like get headshots?
Sure.
And that can be confusing, and I don't know. Like, expectations has to do a lot with if you actually like a game.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
Like, does it meet up with your expectations? Right. Does it exceed, you know?
So, like, if anyone wants to look this up, by the way, like, if you just Google Activision skill-based matchmaking or skill-based hit detection, just Google the patents for those, 2017, and you can take an hour or two and read them.
You're really bored.
You got to really dig through them to find the juice, but it's a thing, and there's something else weird that I've noticed that a lot of players started doing called reverse boosting, where if I've been having really good games and I'm doing well, and then I start getting up into this higher tier because of the skill-based matchmaking, and mm-hmm. then I start getting wrecked, you can go in with just a knife, just be a meat shield.
Yeah.
Just straight up be a meat shield and just have a couple shitty games in a row, and next thing you know, you're back down with the noobs, like shit.
Throw some games. Yeah.
So like, dang. Basically at this point, like, your KDR, your kill to death ratio, it doesn't mean a fucking thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People like used to really prize that as like, who's the real badass?
Yeah.
But at this point, Activision wants everyone to basically be at a 1.0. Mm-hmm. So everyone's nice and even, having fun, staying in the game, paying out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're actually trying to get good and you want to be the best, it's kind of hard to decipher if you're
yeah. Yeah,
where you are. And that's what, I can see the con well, in
that's,
this.
Yeah. That's why I'm so pissed off about the skill-based matchmaking and all this crap that they're doing at these newer games. Because when I first started playing, dude, you had to get good or you had to fuck off and go play Candy.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you had to actually work. And I really dedicated so much of my life to actually, like, you know, learning how to be a what I think a pretty damn good Call of Duty player.
Yeah, building your skills.
Only to have, these systems come into play that are completely out of my control that are going to nerf me, so mm-hmm. I'm on the same playing field with little Jimmy over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he gets a participation trophy.
It's like, I can understand that more if you're playing with a group of people you choose, right? Because, like, it wouldn't be fair to either of us to play on the level that we're on. Like, if you played on level 20 or if we played on level 400, that is not going to work. But if you're playing solo, I don't know. Yeah, I think there should be a way to just put you in a group with people that are on the same level as you or something.
And that's essentially what skill-based matchmaking tries to do.
Yeah, I get what they want to do, which is get people on the same level together, but the real-time nerfing and stuff like that, I don't know. That's where they lose me. That seems fishy, and if you're starting to affect the actual gameplay itself, that seems not cool.
No, not at all. Not at all. And that's why another pro, I guess I would say, for DMZ, because, like, you know, all that shady shit's going on in multiplayer, and so in DMZ, I jump in with some friends. I know what I'm up against. We're up against some AI, we do some missions, and occasionally some tryhard, you know, players that wreck us, or maybe become friends with. I kind of know what I'm getting, but once I started learning more about the rabbit hole, and again, I will admit, conspiracy theory sounding patent that they filed, it made me back off of multiplayer.
It feels like they're trying their best to make everyone happy, and it's like, most of the time you just can't make everyone happy. Sometimes when you do that, it makes the game less good.
Yeah.
All right. So. Let's move on. Anything else with cons, or got all your off your chest? All right.
So we can get to the meat of the podcast, what everyone wants.
And give it to me raw.
Strategy.
Yeah. What's my strategy?
How can we help you play Call of Duty better?
Wait. I have a good one. I have a good one. Don't die because you lose all your stuff.
And if you're the party leader.
Rule number one, don't die.
If you're the party leader, don't exit the game with your party.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine.
I didn't know. I thought I was just taking Nikki with me at that point.
That's what I thought too. I didn't know we were. Dude, it's take you with us when you were like in the middle of doing stuff.
In our defense, you did not protect us.
You let us die.
You let us die.
Okay, that's your fault.
That's your. That's on you.
All right. I'll take that on the chin.
So, yeah, what about you, Seth? Like, you tend to weigh low, right?
When I'm playing solo, yeah. And again, we're just specifically talking about DMZ. Yeah, I keep to myself. I use suppressors. I stay the hell away from people. And
you don't talk that much, I guess? Well, you're by yourself. I don't know who you would talk to.
I keep my headset on because if some people roll up on me, I can be like, hey, you guys want to be friends? And then sometimes I get lucky and I jump in with a group of some crazy people that want to go do something wild. So, but yeah, I don't know, dude. There's so many aspects to strategy.
Oh yeah.
Just, here's the best
we'll
strategy.
Walk us through a list. We all got points of strategy
Here's the best strategy for DMZ. Don't be a dick. Just don't be a dick. You know, like,
hey, that's life in general. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Life advice as well. Like, just, you know, talk before you just pull the trigger, because you may run. You may make a friend with someone that's super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you don't have to have a shootout.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So I'd say, like, prepare for the harder missions by grabbing like armor and equipment and next filling and stuff, and preserve some of the equipment by using other builds. That way you can have your good build that has all the stuff to it. And then you just, you know, want to do something crazy, you
have another
a throwaway build.
Yeah.
But I think you start with three builds basically, and you can kind of like stack them up.
Yeah. And there's, God, we're going to nerd out here. There's an insured backpack that you can build. I didn't want to get into it when we did the chemist there, because I want us to just get the hell out successfully, which was awesome. We had that shootout with those guys that tried to take us on, trying to get on the helicopter.
Yeah.
But there's an insured backpack, and the gold skull is something, once again, I guess you melt down to make a backpack out of. But yeah, if you equip that, then you can take stuff out and you can transfer it to other characters.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you can be like, oh, my guy doesn't have any armor at all. Cool. Yes, throw it in the backpack.
Yeah, and one of my strategies is like having that armor, make sure you have a chest plate, and make sure you have extra plates to put in there. And there's like different levels of chest plates. There's like a 1, 2, 3 tier, right? Yeah. So you can either have 1, 2, or 3 like layered on top of each other, I guess.
Yeah.
And without someone telling me that or telling us that, we really didn't know
that
chest plates
was
even a thing.
Yeah.
And then when we were playing with you, you're like, play it up. We're like, what?
Yeah, the
and,
one plates
oh, man, it makes such
pretty
a difference.
Useless.
Yeah. Once you learn that, that's game changer.
We cannot emphasize how important plates are in this game.
Yeah. Yes.
Literally, just if you're not doing anything important, just fill your whole backpack with plates.
Yeah. Right. And make sure you switch them out. Make sure you pay attention to the bars.
Yeah.
And like switch, you know, add more when they go down. I have another really basic piece of strategy, which is just stay with your team. Like, obviously, like, there can only be three of you at most. And if you just go off rogue,
You'll get pinned down.
You'll probably just die. Yeah.
Stay
just
with your friends.
As a group. Raid and loot houses like as a group, because there could always just be like a random dude pop up in a room or like pop up on you that you didn't see. Yeah,
someone bring in a sniper rifle. It's always good to have a sniper there.
One of the things I'm hoping you can kind of clear up with me is like just the dying, because like you can die where you have like a little bar where you can get revived quickly, but then you can die and still like after that and still get revived, but it takes longer.
Right.
But then you can also die more permanently
where it takes you out to the lobby
where it's just like it's like, okay, you died, like,
right? So,
and I'm kind of confused, like, what is the difference between the three?
I know. So there's like, here's the different levels of death. So the enemy is shooting you, they cut through all your plates in your vest. Okay, boom, they hit you, then they down you. So when you're down, your players, your friends can revive you more quickly. Only people that are on your team can revive you.
Mm-hmm.
So they down you, and then if you're down, they hit you again, then you're dead, and it takes longer to revive you.
Okay.
Now, when you die, it happens pretty quick, but there is a prompt where you can plead for help.
Yeah.
And so you can say, oh, my God, and, you know, someone from a different team can accept your plea.
Oh, okay.
That's what I did after you guys got smoked.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they got me, is I ended up accidentally, like, or I got one of the other guys to join our team. Or, you know, that was two different situations. But anyways, yeah, so you can join other people's team if you hang around for a second. Or, yeah, if you're dead, if you just lay on the ground and you have a teammate that's still alive, hopefully they can pull something out of their ass and they can revive you.
Cool.
Yeah.
But eventually you do get kicked out. Like, you're dead for reals and you get kicked out to the lobby. But, like, that happened to me and Eric one game, but you were still alive.
Yeah.
So we were just hanging out in the lobby while you were playing. And I think that's where we got confused and we thought we could leave without taking you with us, because we were already in the lobby and you were still in the game. So it was like, what's the difference?
Yeah, I don't know. You guys didn't back out or anything? It was...
No, it just kicked us out.
You know what I think it was? I think after you guys were down and you were dead, if you didn't plead for help, if you didn't do that little thing, once... I pled for help and I joined their team. The game recognized you guys being the only members of the team and your team was wiped.
Oh, so okay.
I think once I got pulled out of the team, then yeah.
That makes sense.
That's gotcha.
I think that's what I'm
That sucks.
You always want to have a gas mask because like you'll need you need that always at the end, right?
Yeah.
When you're trying to exfil. Yeah,
because it's the...
Is it exfil or exfil?
Exfil.
It's like the radiation zone just kind of fills up and gets bigger and bigger until
it
encompasses
the wire. Yeah, and you
always
need a gas mask. Right,
so think the opposite of a battle royale. You know, battle royale has the circle that closes in on you, and DMZ has a small circle where the chemist is, where our Eric is, Walter White, that slowly expands to cover the map. So
Gotcha.
Essentially just the opposite of a battle royale.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, if you don't find a gas mask, you're going to be screwed.
Well, I mean, if you exfil before that circle gets too big, it's
true.
Yeah, but
it's good to have it's a good idea to have one.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
For strategy.
Always have a gas mask.
Make sure to plead for your life when you die. Beg, promise to go
Beg
on dates
plead.
With people.
Leave your ego behind.
Can't go too low.
That's a good one. Check the ego at the door. I've tried to adopt a very aggressive play style sometimes, and it usually just bites me in the ass. Like, when in doubt, just be cautious.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I got. Anything else you want to say about strategy, or we can move on?
No,
I'm good.
All right. Did you guys find anything that's about to happen with this series or this game?
Not really. There's a lot of rumors. And I mean a lot, that there's supposed to be a TV show coming out. Like, even someone leaked pictures from the show, supposedly. But there's nothing confirmed. It's all rumor stuff. That's really all I could find other than, like, oh, they fixed this bug or whatever.
The problem with making this, like, is... like a show or a series, it's like, okay, what, just base it on a war or something?
It's just they're just taking the name at that point. It's like a war show with Call of Duty name.
As I heard you guys talking about with the Mortal Kombat one and those amazing movies, like, dude, just leave it alone. Like, there are very, very few shows or movies based off of games that I really like. I haven't watched Last of Us.
I haven't
but
either.
I've heard it's fucking amazing. The games are amazing.
Well, and I think that's really the reason why all these other gaming shows are going to come out. It's because all the streaming services are looking for new original content. And they're like, ooh, that did good. Let's turn all the rest of the video games into shows and see what sticks.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter if we ruin it and turn it into trash. Like, money.
That's what it's all about, baby. Oh, yeah. And, I mean, I know there will probably be some hardcore Witcher fans that will crucify me for this, but I actually really like the Witcher show.
I heard that one was pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
So it's like hit or miss. It's like if you take the care and you have people actually working on the show that played the game and are fans of the game, it probably would turn out better than having just random people that are like, make this for money.
And
it's like they don't have anything invested in it.
Henry Cavill's an awesome actor, man. Like, but I hear he left the show. I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with it, but there's a few out there that have been. Like the OG Super Mario Brothers movie from the 90s.
Mwah. No, really?
Chef's kiss.
You're like the only one.
Dude, John Leguizamo at his prime.
It's like classic B film.
Yeah, I mean, love B movies.
So bad it's good.
Exactly.
It's yeah, it has a charm to it. I do like it.
That, and with the writer strike right now too, it's like, if y'all don't pay, yeah, start paying them and giving them what they want, all these shows are gonna be crap.
Yeah.
AI is crap. Yeah, I've tried to use it just to help me even write a rap, and it's like crap. So unless it magically gets a way better in the next year, so y'all people just pay writers.
Very interesting time right now.
We remember 2018. Yeah. You remember Heroes? Started out great. First season, fantastic. Oh my God, going to be an epic show. Writer's strike turned into the worst show ever. And then it ruined it. It really did. That show had so much potential.
And all the non-union PAs like in the back writing the scripts. Like, how's this sound, boss? Sure, let's make it.
Imagine if we had AI back then. What would? Oh my God, I don't even want to know.
So I think we already touched on this a little bit, but I did find that they were going to release another Call of Duty game.
3.0, 2.0, 3.0.
So it's supposed to be released in November this year. Okay. And apparently they're planning on calling it Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah. Okay, which good.
A game that already exists.
Oh, it does? Oh, I was like, yes, they're moving on from 2 to 3.
Well, in 2019 is when they first started trying to reboot the whole Modern Warfare franchise. And honestly, the story was really good. Characters were cool. It was good.
It's like the peak Call of Duty time, and they're just trying to relive their glory days.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's like an old dude on a motorcycle, like, just stop, bro.
Hey, remember when we used to be Modern Warfare too?
Yeah,
like, those were the days.
That's us now. That's us. We're back, those guys
back in my day.
Yeah, exactly. Back in my day, we didn't have no skill based matchmaking. You had to quit being a pussy.
You just had to man up or shut up.
That's right. Oh man, we've turned into freaking snowflakes. So what bugged me though is the end of this Modern Warfare 2 2022. It didn't end where the original one ended. Oh gosh, I can't really get into it. Whatever. It didn't end where it should have. So I thought they were going to just keep extending it, and that sounded like a great plan. But yeah, now they're going into Modern Warfare 3 and the whole timeline's all screwed up. I don't know. This revamp of Modern Warfare 2 just didn't hit like it should. Like, the original was controversial as fuck.
Yeah.
You guys remember the big thing about it was the mission. No Russian.
Yeah, I remember playing that mission and being like shocked.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about this.
So in No Russian, your character you're playing as is a CIA agent, and he's infiltrated this Russian terrorist organization. And so you come up in this elevator and he turns around to you and he says, "No Russian," meaning don't speak any Russian.
Okay.
And when the doors open, you realize you're in an airport and you have to fucking shoot civilians.
Okay. I think I remember hearing about this.
Yeah. So
super controversial.
If you try to like turn on the guys and shoot them, they'll immediately kill you. If you try to walk through just in the background, like, "I'm just here, guys," they'll know that you're a spy and they'll shoot you and kill you. So you have to walk through this airport slaughtering civilians and then fight off a SWAT team. And then once you get to the end of the mission, you're escaping with your little group. They shoot you in the face because they knew that you were a CIA spy the whole time. And that's kind of why they were saying No Russian. They were trying to frame the Americans for this international terrorist attack on an airport. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. Yeah. I can see. And yeah. See the controversy for sure.
It's the only Call of Duty mission that I can even remember where it had a prompt that says, "This mission contains controversial content." Mm-hmm. Like,
press. Well, they probably made them put that afterwards. Skip. Yeah.
Yeah, it probably came in an update. I can't remember, but.
Yeah, I think you had the option of just skipping the mission if you wanted to.
Right. And like, that's the thing. This new one just doesn't just hit you in the face like those old ones did.
Yeah.
A little too soft now.
Yeah. Kids are getting soft.
Too afraid of controversy.
We are getting old. These kids today.
What's next? I'm just kidding.
All right. So
you said November. Do they have a specific day or it's just like November?
That was what the rumor, the leak, I think, suggested that.
Okay.
Okay, so there was a challenge, right? We had a challenge.
Yes, Mikey gave us a challenge. I mean, Seth gave us a challenge to basically take down the chemist and take his gun, right? And then exit the game.
Take his gun and then successfully exfil. Hop on a chopper and get out of Dodge.
That's an important part of the challenge because you can do all that other stuff. And not exfil.
Sounds simple, not so much in practice.
Yeah.
But actually, we got really lucky the first time we tried to do this thing. We did kill the chemist, right? Like, so pretty easily. You were like, what the heck?
Yeah, it was like one shot, but you realized it was like another group or something.
Yeah, so we got third partied, and there was another team going for it. And I couldn't even tell because everyone kept throwing smoke grenades. Mm-hmm. By the time I went to run in and grab his gun, I realized that, I was like, there's no way I took him out with one sniper shot.
You're like, this is supposed to be way harder, guys, I swear.
Right.
Yeah, when we were hitting him, like, I hit him like six times with the sniper.
Yeah, that was the later time we tried when we got there, and we were like the only group trying to take him out.
And then a couple times we took him down or so, but then like we tried to go in and our gas masks failed.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that was so weird. It was like almost, like 2 seconds in, it was like the gas mask broke, and I'm just like, what the hell?
You must have just picked up a really weak gas mask or something.
Like no time at all.
Yeah. But we did it.
We did it. And what is it that I got? I got something really cool you let me have.
Gold skull.
The gold skull, yes.
Yeah, got his gun. God.
I was so scared that I was going to lose that and die before I got it out. But,
yeah, when those guys tried to take us out.
Yeah,
we're just trying to go home, man.
He drops a couple of cool things. He drops a cool gun, right? A golden skull. But isn't there something else?
So he drops a couple 3-plate vests. One I think is usually just a regular vest, and he drops a medic vest. And this is a little bit advanced, so I didn't even bother you guys with this before, but but yeah, there's a comms vest, and there's a stealth vest, and there's a health vest. And
all these different vests we didn't even know.
Right, so the health vest, you can revive people faster and self-revive. And
cool.
The stealth vest, if someone hits a UAV, you stay off the radar. And the comms vest, if you hit a UAV tower yourself, it expands the radius. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they have all kinds of
cool features. We definitely have to keep playing this together because it's super fun.
Yeah, I had a great time playing with you guys.
But I do have a problem. I accidentally already wrote my rap, so even though we actually completed the challenge,
I accidentally already wrote my rap too, so I might as well perform it,
Yeah, I mean, what about you, Seth?
Did you accidentally write a rap?
Totally accident. No, I wrote the rap because I knew we were going to win.
Practice it and accidentally.
I totally wrote the rap because I knew he had it the whole time.
Nice.
All right, yeah, let's hear it.
Code red on deck, got my headset prepped. Gold camo player, prepare to get wrecked. Shit talking lobby, man, it's just another day. Salty little bitch boy calling me gay. Win some, lose some, we're here to have fun. Unlock a new camo, slap that shit on my gun. But it's hard to keep it real when you hear those bitches squeal. Cool head, loadout swap, here's the fucking deal. I'm just gonna mute you and do what I do. Shit on your whole crew and put screws to you too. Blow out your ruse while I'm drinking my booze. And here's some fresh news, you about to fucking lose.
You know I gotta ask fast, you gotta guess fast. Last thing to do is this task, no time to sit and bask. If you're not first, your last gasp, but avoid the blast. Newscast the past is past, night's forecast, looking glass. Third eye blind, smoking grass, laugh about how crass we kick the chemist's ass.
The stage is set. My mind is racing to a bet. The threat of the thralls we're facing. There's a set of diskettes that needs protecting. Some toothpaste, a vest, a cassette of clarinets. Gripping my rifle tight, gonna lay down my life to protect these worthless objects. I'll be their white knight. Out of spite, gotta fight till I'm read my last rites. Bleeding out of sight while gripping my comics tight. With the jewel of my corpse, an origami horse. Dwarfs even the force of sexual intercourse. Its folds are pristine like the Chapel Sistine. Like a hidden nicotine for my hero Bruce Springsteen. Now I gotta go to the area below with a bottle of Merlot and like 72 hoes bestowed upon the low. But what's this? Oh no, shit, I just respond for the next show.
Damn, time, Seth. You didn't tell us you were freaking ludicrous over there. Who knew? I swear, our guests, I don't know, they're always so good at rapping. They amaze me when they haven't done this. You know, we do this like all the time. We're professionals.
Yeah, we're so good at this at this point. I mean, we're not even trying.
We have our guests come in and just freaking land it on the first take. Yeah. You know, they're just so prepared.
I'm pretty gangster over here. I missed my calling. I really did. Could have been a professional Call of Duty / rapper. What am I doing with my
life?
It's
not too late, Seth. There's YouTube. There's everything. There's TikTok.
People don't want to see my
face. You can become famous.
I'm a behind the mic, behind the camera kind of face.
All right. I bet you're excited to know the next game, Nikki.
Oh, my God. Well, it's your pick. Yeah. So, you know, I'm nervous as always because you pick really hard games sometimes. I never know what to expect.
So,
all I know is this is for Nintendo 64, right?
Yeah.
Which could be so many different games. So, I have no idea even where to start.
I'll give you another hint.
Okay.
Like, I feel like we've done a lot of really good games this season.
Oh, no.
Like a lot of like classics, like Zelda game, Mario game, Sonic game.
So it's about time to do a shitty game?
We're doing a bad game, aren't we?
Some people might think it's bad.
Probably most people.
Do you have any guesses?
Actually, I don't really know any notoriously bad Nintendo 64 games off the top of my head. Pokemon Snap, the old one.
That was actually a really good game. So.
Dang.
So, yeah, we're playing Superman 64.
Oh, my God. I've never played this, but I've watched enough YouTube videos and enough countdowns.
It's got a reputation.
To where I know this usually makes the list when you're watching one of those freaking YouTube videos where it's like 10 worst video games. They always have this one on there.
It's made a lot of lists.
Oh my God, what's my challenge?
So
don't eat the kryptonite.
This is probably
that's the thing, right?
This is probably the most difficult thing I think I've asked you to do.
Oh no.
So there are 14 missions in this game.
Uh-huh.
All you have to do is complete mission one on normal difficulty.
Is there an easy difficulty?
Yes.
Oh, man. Eric, you know, I should get the easy difficulty option.
There's a reason. Well, we'll see. It's
okay. So
it's
all
bad.
I have to do is beat mission one on normal.
All you have to do is beat mission one on normal difficulty.
Cake.
Piece of cake.
Cake.
All right.
I'm definitely going to do this for sure.
You got it. Right. Awesome.
Superman that.
All right, I think that's all we have time for.
All right, yeah. Until next time.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yeah,
bye, y'all.
Bye.